maintaining a heart for God's word. It's something we've been doing for the past couple of weeks, and I think we're going to be doing it for about maybe one or two more weeks. And after that, we're going to move on to something even greater and better. The first point is called, I must live by it. Psalm 119:11 says, I have hidden your words in my heart that I might not sin against you. So I take what I read, I take what I meditate, I hold on to it in my heart so that I might remember when the trials come. So that I remember when Satan says, hey, come over here and do this, or go over there and do that. Or lie for like $5 because you can keep it. It would be your $5. Whatever he says, that isn't right. Since you've read it and you understand the word, you keep it in your heart, you will remember that. So you will not sin against him. Sometimes this comes as something that you lose track of. Sometimes, most of the time, actually, I should say, Satan is very, very cutting. He's very slick. So the way I like to think about it is kind of like an athlete. You train for it, but we don't really get a prize with medal. We don't get like a trophy or something that says, hey, look, I'm a Christian. Yeah, I got first place. No, we get the ultimate prize, prize of salvation. So a way of saying that, way of doing that, is to train yourself like an athlete. Athlete has to do two very important things. Has to train and has to be disciplined. He has to listen and pay attention to what he's actually doing. He has to listen and pay attention to what he's doing in a quick pace at a competitive manner. Training, Proverbs 22:6 says, train like a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not turn. Train so that you can remember. So when you are being trialed, you will not sway from it. Like the way we teach our children, the way we teach, I would say, my Sunday school kids, the way I teach other kids outside, even outside of church, you see them doing something they're going to hurt, say, hey, don't cross the street like that. You are going to get hit. Don't ride your skateboard that hard because it will hurt when you fall. Don't laugh at him when he falls, though. It's not very good. Another thing is Luke 6:40 says, a student is not above his teacher, but anyone who is fully trained will become like his teacher. At first, we start off slow, but then we keep training and training, and you will get better. Discipline. One of not my favorite things, but one of the most important things. Discipline is very important in a Christian's life. Psalm 94:12 says, blessed is the man you discipline, the man you teach from your law. Well, what is our law? Law is the book, the great word. The law is maintaining a heart of in the God's word. That is what we train for. That's how we discipline ourselves. Okay, next point is, I must grow through it. Psalm 119:18. Open my eyes that I might see the wonderful things in your law. Sometimes we read the Bible, there are parts that are unbelievably great. You just want to read them over and over again. After thousands of times of reading them, you still want to read it again because it's so wonderful. There are other parts of the Bible that we read over and over again and we still don't understand it. Numbers. I still don't know why we're counting. We've been counting for years. We're still counting. Proverbs. Amazing book. I think I read it 32,000 times in one. I'll probably read it again by the end of this week. It's a great book. I love it. God have opened my eyes so that we can see what the wonderful things are inside his word, in his law, so we don't understand it. Being optimistic is being to see the great things in his law. Be optimistic about it. Look at the things on the bright side. Seeing that everything in God is everything. Everything God makes is to give him praise. Everything we have, everything we do is to praise him. One thing we can look at it, when you stumble against a book you don't really like to read, or when you stumble against something that you don't really like as much, I like to think of taxes. I know. Dreadful things, taxes. But I like clean roads. I like to be able to call the fire department when my apartment is on fire. I like to be able to call on something when I'm running into trouble. That's where taxes are. We don't like paying them, but they are really good when you need them. Kind of like the word. Sometimes you might not like reading it. Sometimes you don't feel like reading it. Sometimes you're really tired and you don't want to read. But when you come to a trial, you want to be able to call back on that and say, hey, I remember that one thing I read, even though it was I was tired and it was late, but now it can help me out. Philippians 4:9 says, whatever you have learned or received for me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Grow through the word, meditate on it, and put it into practice. It's the only way we will grow through it. You can read it, then read it again, but you'll forget about it. If we don't meditate and practice, it's the only way it sticks with us. The rest of the time is just going to be like something you see, something you read. A couple of days go by, you forget about it. In other words, another way God likes us to think of the Bible and think of the way we understand and read the Bible and meditate on it is the parable of the four soils. Look, Luke 8, 4 through 15. I'm not going to read the whole thing because it's quite long and my message is short. Here it talks about how the seed is thrown into four different types of soil. The seed is God's word. We are the soil. What goes from us is a plant that makes fruits. Well, here God explains four different types of soil. You have the hardened soil, the shallow soil, the soil with weeds, and the good soil. So, the hardened soil is a closed mind. Somebody that reads it, reads the word and says, ah, this isn't really for me. Doesn't accept it. Keeps moving forward. This book is too old to be able to talk to me in this day and age. I'm too young. I'm too old. I'm too Romanian to understand it. You can, thousands of excuses you can make. That is a hardened soil. Actions we must take against this would be to cultivate an open mind, to listen to it, to read it. Don't be hardened. Don't be negative and say stuff against it. Just go with the flow. Read it, meditate on it, and move on. John 8:32 says, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. The truth will soften the soil, will soften your heart. We'll let the seed come in, grow a plant, and then it will fruit out, and then create fruit that God loves fruits. The shallow soil, number two, a superficial mind. A lot of us fall into this. I know I do sometimes. And most of the people I talk to sometimes fall into this. It's human nature. Like my dad used to say, don't eat with your eyes. I can't eat with my eyes. That's going to hurt. Fork's going to poke my eye out. But when I'm really hungry and I see a plate of food, I say, hey, give me some more. I know I won't finish it, but I'm still want more. That is a superficial mind. You always want something more, something that's not there. Action, make time for God. Make time to meditate and read the word. Make time so let the seed grow inside. Let the seed fall down and grow roots, and let the tree start to grow. 1 Samuel 16:7 says, the Lord does not look at the things man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Don't look what's on the outside. Always look what you can find on the inside. If you take a look at the Bible, most Bibles look like regular books. Some are really thick, some are skinnier, some are shiny, some are leathery. Some are pretty, some are not very pretty. If you used it a lot, it's not really that pretty of a book. But inside is this amazing, amazing well of water that keeps coming out all the time. And if you let that seed go into your little heart, with the well of water you read from the Bible, the tree will grow. It will bring out great and amazing juicy fruits that everybody can enjoy, even yourself. Number three, the soil with weeds. This is one of my favorite. I love this one because it talks about a preoccupied mind. Who here has come home and say, I'm too tired to pay attention to or read, too tired to meditate, too tired to put your knee down to give God grace? I raise both hands for that one because I'm guilty of that pretty much twice a day. Always find something different. Job's too busy, too much traffic. I have more excuses than this Bible's got words about why not to pray or read. We all have them. It's a superficial mind. Actions against that. Eliminate the distractions. Eliminate them. Take them out of the way. Say, you know what? I have to fight traffic. But if I wake up just 15 minutes earlier, I have 15 minutes to read. 15 minutes in the morning, 15 minutes at night. Boom, there goes 30 minutes. If you're a fast reader, you could pretty much go through about four, maybe five verses. If you're a slow reader, okay, three words, enough. Just keep going like this, little by little. It's a learning process. Nobody jumps in the water learning how to swim. Jump in the water, flop around for a little bit, and then you learn how to swim. 1 Corinthians 7:35 says, I say this for your own good, not to lay any restraints upon you, but to promote good order and to secure your undivided devotion to the Lord. Don't let things get in the way. It's very easy to let us strain. Satan will tell you, hey, you got to go to work, you're late. Or it's too late to read, it's too late to pray. You're too tired, you're too this is that, that is this. It's what he does, it's his job. He's very good at his job, which you don't always like, but that's his job. It's what he does. But we have the Word of God, which is above all of that. And you can make the choice and say, hey, I want to sacrifice something so that I can read a little bit. I can meditate a little bit. I want to sacrifice something so that the seed can grow into me and I can grow fruits as well. Number four, the good soil. A willing mind. Action. Cooperate with what God says. Sometimes God says things we don't always agree with or we don't always like. Sometimes God says something that is so far-fetched that we say, well, I can't do that. I'm not worthy of that. That is way too big for me, God. I'm sorry. You're going to have to do somebody else. I can't do that. It's too much for me to bear. Is that a willing mind? Not really. That's a scary mind, scary heart. We cooperate with what God says. That is the action against that. Sometimes we don't understand it. Hey, I never understood when my dad used to tell me, study, go to sleep early, eat your vegetables. Didn't. Now I kind of do. I still don't eat my vegetables as much, but I try to study a little more. We don't always understand that. 2 Corinthians 9:6 says, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. We all want to bear fruits. We all want to be somebody that God uses. We all want the fame, but nobody wants to put in the actions for it. We all want to follow and get the prize, but nobody wants to train and discipline for it. Everybody wants to show up and say, yeah, that little gold piece right there, yeah, that belongs to me. Nobody wants to learn it, earn it. Conclusion, let's train and discipline ourselves in the Word. Let's train and discipline ourselves in growing a nice Christian plant that bears great fruits. Keep an optimistic mind. Keep an open mind. Listen to what God says. Even if you don't understand it, even if you don't like it, even if you says something so far-fetched that you can say, well, I could never do that. That's too much for me. Be optimistic. Keep your mind and your eyes open. and be of good soil. Sow generously. Go where God sends you. Do whatever it does, whatever it takes to do. So that when it comes time for you to reap, also you can reap generously. That is my time. Thank you.